Hello, I'm Damon.
I'm Marcel.
And we are Black Nerd Radio. So, sorry we didn't have a show last week. Marcel had some family stuff, and it just wasn't going to really fit. It wasn't going to be a really good show if we had did one.
No, it wouldn't.
Yeah, so what's up?
Oh, nothing, but like I said, I want to make sure before we start, I want to make sure we get it out there because we forgot last time. You're engaged. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yes, yeah. I am giving it a second try.
Yes, and you are.
The last. I'm pretty sure it's the last. Well, it's the last for me. Yeah. Michelle and I got engaged, and yeah, we're going to get married sometime next year, probably fall of 2024.
Cool, but, cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And you'll be 62 when you get married? Is that about right? 62, 63? I can't remember.
I will actually be 51.
He's lying, folks. He's
57.
He's as old as dirt, people. He's as old as dirt.
But I look so good, though.
Wow, somebody's more confident than they need to be.
Well, it's just facts, just the facts, sir, just the facts.
I was watching this little piece of movies. You know how TikTok will give you pieces of movies and TV shows and such, and you know, yeah, every once in a while they'll kind of hook me, like I'm watching The Mentalist now because of that. But I saw this thing called The Invention of Lying, which I know is an older movie, with Ricky Gervais. And I told Stephanie, I was like, you know, I could rule that world within an hour of landing, because you know, I could just do that. And she said that it would be a horrible thing, and I'm like, why? I would eliminate hunger. Everybody'd have a home. Everybody'd have money. Everybody'd be happy. She said. And I want to know if you agree with this. She said the worst part about it would be your ego and your saying, I was right all the time. That would be the most insufferable part about you fixing the world's problems. I said, so you would take that little bit and say you don't want the world's problems fixed? I didn't say that. I said, but if you fixed it, it would be impossible for you to live with you. Impossible. Your ego would be just too big. You'd be just coming home every day going, oh, fix another problem today. Man, I'm good. Oh, man, solved cancer yesterday. Oh, let me have a nice cold sun kiss and sit here and marvel at my greatness.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with her 100% on this.
I hate you both.
Just think about how insufferable you are with little things now that you happen to be right about, and we don't hear the end of it. If they were like real shit, there would be no end. So you're reminding everybody, hey, by the way, remember that time I fixed that world problem? Yeah, we talked about it yesterday. Yeah, I just want to know, make sure you remembered.
That's right. Remember when I fixed homelessness? Remember when I did that? Yep, that was me. That was just 2 days ago. So go ahead and talk about it. Go ahead and tell me how great I am. I live off of your
animation. Hey, Marcel, I don't think that TV show was as good as you thought it was. Well, it may not have been, but, you know, the reason you have a house is because I fixed the housing issue in the world. Yeah, I know. We talked about that last week.
Yeah,
I'm just reminding you. Yeah, that's what life would be like. I'd have to eat a bullet after about a month of that.
Oh, my God. Even though the Earth would be like an Eden, you still couldn't handle it. Oh, my God. I would fix all the problems. There'd be no more lying politicians. There'd be no more sex trade. There'd be nothing but just flawless perfection. But yet, because I did it and I may want to brag about it, you're like, fuck it. I like the world as it is. I can't live with this nigga talking about how great he is.
You know what? I'll just live in this misery.
Oh my God. That almost hurts. That almost hurts me a little bit. Wow.
Oh, I have to agree with Stephanie on that.
In the world of Hollywood, some sad news, Lance Reddick died.
You know what? Yeah, if for people who don't know, Lance Reddick. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
He was the concierge in the John Wick films. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, known in The Wire. He was. Oh God, he was in a ton of movies. He's a ton of credits. He was Oz. I remember him on Oz.
Commander Zavala on Destiny for the last 10 years. I mean, that's a big part of how I knew him was one of the Guardians in a video game that was one of the most popular video games of all time. He's the head Titan. And when he died, I haven't been on Destiny in probably once since I got out of the hospital a year ago. And I saw a video where there must have been 300 people went to the tower where you go to get your stuff, and they all kneeled and paid homage to Zavala, which was kind of cool. You know, they were like, you know, one of our leaders is now gone. And it's like, I saw a video he did 24 hours before he died. And I don't know if this is a Chad Boseman thing where he just was sick and didn't tell nobody, but
yeah, cause they don't, there's still, they say natural causes, but
what does that mean?
He was only, oh, this means whatever, you know, wasn't like drug related or no one killed him. So it was natural. Maybe he was sick. I am assuming he was sick because the guy was only 60.
Yeah. And he looked pretty good. You know,
he looked pretty good. He looked pretty good. So I can only assume he was sick.
Yeah, that something was wrong. I mean, and
they haven't said what he died of yet.
Yeah. And it just was kind of a surprise. I mean, Chadwick Boseman looked like death when he, right before he passed. But Lance in that last video, man, he just looked tired, you know, like he had been up all night. You know, apparently he was playing Destiny that night, you know, which is kind of, you know, weird, but he was playing Destiny and I think he fell asleep and didn't wake up. You know, I had a buddy who died like that, Derek Baldwin. He, this was like 15, 16 years ago. He had an enlarged heart, never knew. And, he went to sleep one night, and he had a massive heart attack, from what his wife said. Just a massive heart attack, and died to sleep. And they called it, you know, natural, you know, causes, because, you know, it was just something he had his whole life. And, you know, he was a track star. He was a football star at Portland State. Damn near made the NFL. And I remember the last time I saw him when he was working at 24 Hour Fitness out here where I live. And he seemed fine, but, you know, like it was 4 months later, he was gone.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was. It was really crazy. I was like, wait, what? Derek died? How did that happen? And it was just, it just shook me for a while, because he just didn't look like anything was wrong with him. But then again, I can't, you know, you can't see the heart, you know. And
right.
And also, you don't know, as a man, you don't really know if he had heart pain, chest pains for weeks on end going in, you know. Like when I had mine, I didn't have any chest pains or anything. Mine just kind of happened, which was weird to me. It just happened, you know. Nothing gave it away, you know. There was nothing I could have, you know, said, if I had have gone to the hospital. No, it just happened. So I'm wondering if that's what happened to Reddick and my friend, you know, where it just happened, you know. The plaque in the arteries just cut loose. And they just fell over, you know. That's what happened.
Yeah, I don't really get too upset over celebrity deaths, but this one bugged me. I was a big fan of that guy. I like that guy a lot.
Yeah.
Whenever he elevated whatever he was in, he seemed to have this kind of like gravitas, this kind of class about him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he was great in Bosch, too. I remember why I watched that, because he was in it, and he was fucking fantastic in Bosch. I mean, just brilliant. And, you know, I caught a bit of him in The Wire. I've never seen The Wire all the way through, but the little bit I did see of him in it, he was really good. But he just, it was just sad, you know, that he just kind of just passed, you know. It's like, no warning, no nothing, you know. And I don't know. It just seems like sometimes that if you are sick, and a lot of people are going to, you know, be upset, sometimes I wish they would tell, you know, their fans, you know, hey, I'm not feeling too well lately, you know, blah, 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 and kind of prepare them for what's coming. Then on the other hand, I keep thinking, well, it is a private thing, so I don't really blame him if he knew, or Chadwick Boseman if he knew, you know. Well, Chadwick knew, but if they don't say, yeah, Chadwick knew for 4 years where he was and what was going on. I just don't know if Chadwick thought he was going to get better, or if he just was like, you know, being ultra private.
I think he knew he wasn't going to get better, but they said he didn't want anyone to know because he wanted to keep working and he wanted to, you know, kind of make a nest egg for his family. So which makes sense to me. I do the same thing.
Oh, well, he was so big of a name. Do you really think they wouldn't have hired him for stuff if they knew he was sick? I mean, I don't.
Absolutely. Insurance. Huh. It's about getting insured, dude.
Oh, you know what? I forgot about that. I keep forgetting that that's an aspect in Hollywood is insurance. I always forget that. I don't know why, but I forget that.
Big fucking deal.
Yeah, I keep forgetting that. Yeah, you're right. I forgot about that. That's why Tom Cruise has problems with some of his movies. You know, the last Mission Impossible, I think he had to insure himself. Because there was a couple stunts that he wanted to do.
Well, there's stuff that they just wouldn't let him do. They said either you let someone else do it, or you're not insured. And, you know, it's not about him paying it. It's about them not wanting to cover that spread. You know, right. If something were to happen. So they were like, look, there's no movie if you don't, you know, because there's a lot of stuff they let him do. But there's just certain things that just like flat out no.
Well, that is a good. That's actually a really good question. I just thought of who's a better stuntman actor, Cruise or Jackie Chan?
Jackie Chan, hands down.
I figured you'd drill that real quick. I was hoping you would give me an argument for Tom, but I knew
what? No, give me a break. Tom does some stuff. He does a lot of shit, but Jackie Chan, this is a guy who's been doing his own stunts since the early 80s.
Of the 70s.
Late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah, because he worked with Bruce Lee, so we're talking about the 70s, dude. He worked with Bruce Lee.
This is a guy that he does all, you know, he not so much anymore. I mean, the guy's damn near 70, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, hell, Jackie Chan all the way.
Yeah, I figured you'd go there. That was my thought, too. I was just hoping you'd give me a devil's advocate for Tom Cruise.
No.
But you can't.
Cruise, he does more than most actors, but not more than Jackie Chan. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, no, Jackie Chan is the king of almost dying on sets. I mean, I've seen some of those stunts he does. It's like, dude, are you insane? Why would you? But he hasn't died yet. You know, he lost his hearing in one ear. I think he went into a coma once from one of them. Blew up his hip, tore up all his knees. Like that one movie where he jumped onto a hot air balloon that was like, I think, 5,000 feet up with no harness, no nothing. I'm like, why would you even consider doing something like that? You know, yeah. It's a movie. Calm down. You know, you're playing pretend. Settle down. You know, I get that the movie is forever. That's a Arnold Schwarzenegger quote. You know, he's like, you know, the movie's forever. And it doesn't matter, you know, what I do or, you know, how much pain I'm in. The movie's forever. Pain is temporary. And I'm like, yeah, but your life could be snuffed out, you know.
Yeah.
You know, instantly. And then that's forever, too. You know, you ain't coming back. Nigga, what's wrong with you?
No thanks. Speaking of movies, I got a couple of reviews.
Ooh,
I saw last couple weeks, I saw 65.
What is that?
65 is the Adam Driver dinosaur movie.
Oh yeah, how was that?
It was what you know, it delivered what it promised. Adam Driver with a, you know, okay, here's the cool part. And spoilers. But, you know, you figure this out after the opening credits cuz it's a cold open and then you get the opening credits like 10 minutes in.
Okay.
But the movie takes place is Adam Driver is basically he's shipping cargo. It's a 2-year trip. He has a sick daughter at home. Him and his wife have the sick daughter at home, and this 2-year voyage is going to wipe out all the medical bills and provide the treatment for his kid. So he's going to do it. He's basically like a space trucker. But the cargo is people that are in cryostasis. So, you know, it's in the future. So, well, here's the thing. It's like the future, you know, you know, yeah, people have been cryo, but someone has to monitor that and fly the ship. It's not all, you know, automatic.
Right.
So it'll be a blink for those people, but 2 years for him to get him from point A to point B and the round trip. Anyway, there's an asteroid field that they did not expect, and they have to crash land. They crash land on this planet. And you find out pretty quick that the planet is Earth.
You blew it up.
Here's the thing. It's Earth 65 million years ago. So they didn't go through a time portal. They're just they're from another galaxy, far more advanced than us. So far advanced that they're doing intergalactic travel 65 million years ago.
Damn.
So they land on Earth, you know, 65 million years ago. And, you know, so everyone of the cargo, all the people die except for one person, which is a girl who doesn't speak English. And I forget what language it was, but she doesn't speak the language. And they have like this, most of their equipment is, you know, finished except for an escape pod, escape ship, like a small, kind of like a lifeboat. But when in the crash landing, the ship broke into two pieces. So they got to get from point A to point B, which is like, let's say, 100-mile hike, to get to this other part of the ship so they can fly out of there. Meanwhile, everything is trying to kill them from, you know, and they're prehistoric things. Insects, food, you know, berries and shit that grow, and not all the things that are traveling around that could kill them is trying to kill them. So it was pretty fun. I mean, it delivered what it is. It's very, you know, very straightforward story. Nothing super. It's kind of like a lone wolf and cub story, you know, and he kind of imprints his feelings for his daughter onto this poor girl. Then you find out later on, I'm totally spoiling this movie, but you find out later on that he has messages, you know, video messages back and forth to him and his daughter during this trip. And you find out she didn't survive, you know, the 2 year wait, and she ended up dying. So a year in. So,
man, that sounds like a Schwarzenegger movie from the 80s. You know what I mean? Like if this was the 80s, Arnold would have started this movie.
Very possibly.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
But it was a very fun movie. You know, E and I saw it together, and we liked it. It was all right. I was going to do a Shazam review, but I didn't watch it yet. And Eloise ended up going with a couple of her uncles to watch the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And she called and told me, and I repeat, you know, that movie is prime for, you know, kids her age. And she said, and I quote, "It's fine. You can watch it if you want," which is not a rating endorsement. So I think I'll wait. Yeah. I'll wait for it to be on Disney Plus.
Yeah, that doesn't sound too rushy, outy, hurry up and go see it kind of thing. It's fine. If you want to watch it, go ahead. If you don't,
it's fine. Yeah, and I quote, "It's fine."
It's fine. Who gives a shit? You know, it's. But then again, you know what I mean. It the first one was good, but I thought it was like really silly.
I enjoyed it too, and it was for a younger audience. But it was like a family film. But apparently, you know, the second one isn't as good, and the numbers are kind of showing that it's. Its opening was a little disappointing for the studio. So I'll check it out when I check it out. I'm in no hurry. It doesn't really cost me anything because I have I'm a member at Regal, but maybe I'll see it when I'm bored.
And maybe that's why The Rock said, "Hell no, Black Adam's not going to appear in this shit."
No, he had no idea what the movie was.
Yeah, I figured as much. I just thought
production came out. The production came out same time. It was done around the same time. But speaking of DC, James Gunn. Mm-hmm. James Gunn decided he is going to direct the next Superman movie himself. He wrote it, but he's actually going to direct it also. So
yeah, I heard that.
It's Superman, what is it called? Legacy, Superman Legacy. It's like a 25-year-old Superman. He really likes the script. He didn't write it to direct it, but he wrote it, and he figured he really loved the script more than he thought he would, so he's going to direct it himself.
So who's Superman?
I still don't know.
Okay, so that must be a while then. We must be looking at 2025 minimum for this movie to come out then.
Yes, it's
July. He hasn't even cast it yet.
Oh, I'm sure he's cast it, but he's keeping it close to the vest because the release date is July 11th, 2025. And his brother, it was a tweet, his brother, I guess he tweeted him, he was very emotional. And apparently James said he didn't even realize it, but the tweet was like, that's really awesome that you picked that date. And he's like, I don't know, what are you talking about? Apparently it was their dad's birthday. So he's like, and his dad was the, I guess, he was the one that kind of got him and his brother into the comics. So he's like, I didn't even realize I had done that. When he made that, because he's the one that set that date. I mean, he's the guy. He's the man now.
Yeah,
so he set that date, July 11, 2025.
Somebody else was talking about how great the new Flash movie is going to be. I can't remember who it was. Some other celebrity saw it.
No one that has seen the movie that has spoke publicly about it has said anything negative.
Yeah, they all say it's the greatest thing.
Granted. It hasn't been anything from critics, but everyone has said this is going to. Everyone has like said this is going to turn the DC movies around, and I kind of believe them because I've been a fan of James Gunn since the Troma days, since he was doing movies with budgets of, he was a standout in Troma. People don't know Troma Films is like this independent, longest running independent movie studio, but they would do movies like $2,000, just crap movies. The Toxic Avenger was their big claim to fame.
I remember that movie.
James Gunn, but every time he was attached to something, it stood out every time. And for better or worse, it stood out every time. So, I've been a fan of his since the beginning, and before he even directed, when he was writing stuff for Troma, I was like, "Oh, James Gunn wrote it, so this ought to be interesting." So I'm looking for he's time and time again he has such a catalog. I'm really curious to see his take on Superman because it's going to be different than what we've seen before.
Oh, absolutely!
It's not going to be the run of the mill stuff. It just won't be. And it will have a little bit of teeth to it because everything he does has a little bit of teeth to it.
Yeah, I'm looking at his resume. He wrote Dawn of the Dead from 2004.
Yeah.
Oh shit! I love that movie.
It's a great remake.
that's the movie that when I went to go see it, and it's the only movie I've ever actively jumped in my seat because there's something about zombie kids that just sends chills down my spine. When that little girl kipped up in the hallway, I was like,
oh yeah.
And Leroy looked at me like, what is wrong with you? You see that little kid? That's creepy as fuck. What's wrong with you, man? And he's like, you're an idiot. It's like, and every time I see that girl kip up, it just creeps me the hell out. I don't know why. But it was a great movie. I love that movie.
Okay, I'll just go through a few things. Like back in the Troma days, he wrote Tromeo and Juliet, was one of their biggest movies since The Toxic Avenger. He also wrote Terra Firma, which is another big one since The Toxic Avenger. Then when he finally gets his big break into writing movies, he wrote 13 Ghosts. I didn't care for that movie, But I didn't care for he did a he was a script doctor on that one, so he didn't write the movie. He punched it up. But he wanted to do a rated R Scooby-Doo movie, which didn't happen, but he did write the PG one. But Dawn of the Dead, All the Guardians of the Galaxy, Slither, I love that movie. Super, which is another great one. A guy who's a schizophrenic who thinks he's a superhero. He wrote, The Belko Experiment. I love that movie.
Yeah,
that was a fun-ass movie. Of course, Peacemaker and help me out.
What are you talking about?
Suicide Squad. Sorry, I couldn't think. He wrote and directed the good one, not the shitty Will Smith.
Oh, right,
Suicide Squad.
Yeah, the last one, the one with
The Suicide Squad, the one with Idris Elba.
Right, and not Will
Smith. Of course the Peacemaker series he wrote and directed a couple episodes, but he also wrote season two. This is coming up. So the guy is. Yeah, I'm a fan. I'm a big fan, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he does with it.
It looks impressive, you know.
Yeah. Also I saw Scream 6. Oh Jesus.
I heard that was actually really good from what I heard.
Yeah, well, here we go. Here. I'll give you this. I saw it with Michelle, she loved it. She thought it was great. With the exception of the first Scream, the first Scream was very, it set a new standard for slasher films, especially genre films of that ilk. And it's a pretty popular, pretty successful movie franchise.
Right.
But it's always been done in a small town or a college. An isolated, almost a bottleneck film. Not really, but, one location, one place. This is the first one that's in the city. This is in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of variables. And now I get you go to these movies for the fun, slash cut up. Who is it? Who done it? Find out who's the slasher, who's behind it, and their motivations. This is by far the silliest, the dumbest Scream movie of the entire franchise. It is so dumb. I get there's some suspension of disbelief you have to give yourself in order to get through these movies. But it was so many plot holes that you could drive a fucking truck through. I found myself leaning over to tell people, like, this is so dumb. Why would they do this? That's not how cops work. I mean, it was like, if you're a murder suspect, the cops aren't going to. And if you're a murder suspect, or if they feel you're next on a stream of murders,
right?
They're not going to let you just walk away. They're going to put you in protective custody of some kind, or at the very least have a cop set outside, where you're going to be. At all times.
Yeah.
If you're on an ongoing investigation, especially if they think you might have something to do with it, good luck fucking going somewhere. It was so dumb. One of the characters from the past movie comes back, and she's an FBI agent now. So she's all of 30 years old, and she's supposed to be, working this case by herself. Okay, fine, but when you have to the people will be with me, and I'm taking jurisdiction over this case. That's not how law works, but okay. So let's say the FBI takes over. Where's your partner? Where's your backup? It's just her. No one trusts anybody because they all think that they could, this other person could be the killer. Fine, that makes sense. Right. Yeah, because you never know. Mm-hmm. So, okay, you don't trust anybody. Fine. So why do you want to go to, and this, we've already seen that in the movie, this killer kills anywhere. I mean, there's a scene where it's the first time you've seen a character shooting, shoot up a place with a gun. One of the ghost face killers, because there's a couple, there's always a couple. They're working together. He has a gun and he's like going down aisles in a mom and pop store, Minute Mart, like shooting, looking to kill the people. Okay, fine. So you know that you're probably safest if you lock yourself up somewhere. But no, they're just, let's go out into the city, into the fucking city where there's tons of people, where it'll be real easy for someone to just run up on me and kill me. And, in broad daylight, in the middle of all the chaos of people running around. It's just, so many stupid things this movie does that it was hard to put aside the stupidity of it. It's fun. It's fun to watch, but it is dumb as fuck. I mean, it is the dumbest of all of the Scream movies.
Were they white people who wanted to go out into the city?
Oh, that's another thing. The focus is on, I don't know if you've seen Scream 5, but there's four survivors, two, a brother and sister, twins, that are black, and two sisters that are white.
Okay.
So there's two black people, the twins, in this movie. And they're also doing the stupid shit. So we're not painting those lines anymore.
It's what? Just
stupid people all over.
Oh, wow. I didn't know they could get black folks acting like that in movies. That's ridiculous. But that's not real.
Well, this is Scream. I mean, come on. But it's fun, but it's really dumb. Check your brain at the door. Expect to see dumber shit than usual from these movies. So I don't know if that's a rating endorsement or not, but you will have a fun time. I mean, it was fun to watch who was the murderer and why. But the motivation for the killer was even dumber. It was just, it was dumb. It was really dumb.
Sometimes it's hard to find a good horror film with a good motivated character. I've noticed
throughout
the years. The ones I've seen, it's kind of like, that's a stupid motivation. I mean, like I look at Jason Voorhees. Now, I get why he was so pissed off. I understand why his mother was pissed off. But I still don't get Michael Myers. Maybe I haven't seen
number two. Michael Myers is just it's just the embodiment of evil.
Yeah, he's just the boogeyman.
That's what makes it so mysterious, because he has no motivation. His only motivation is to kill. Yeah. They don't know why. They don't know what. Over the movies, there was like, they try to explain it, but the best ones are the ones where they stick to the narrative of he's just a killing machine. He just kills. Now, this last trilogy, the first two I liked. That last one was complete and total fucking garbage. Where they tried to move, it was the last Halloween movie that had Michael Myers maybe in 20 minutes of it. And it was mostly this fucking kid, this grown man that was being bullied. Halloween Ends is what I'm talking about. This grown fucking man being bullied by band camp kids, marching band high schoolers, and he's being bullied by them. He's a grown man, like in his mid to late 20s, and he's being bullied by children. And that's his motivation to be like Michael Myers. Is so fucking dumb. The movie's awful. It's awful.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Oh, no one likes it. No, I don't know anyone who likes the Halloween movies that have seen this last one and walked away feeling good about it. It was fucking terrible. It's terrible.
Now, here's something I wanted to get your opinion on. Did you know the original title? There's a new title of John Wick. At least this is what kind of was supposed to be. They shouldn't have killed his dog. The complete and uncensored oral history of John Wick, Gung Fu, and the New Age of Action. That's a new book coming out. And this is kind of what John Wick was supposed to be. Now, here's the kicker. John Wick was supposed to be 75 years old. It was supposed to be either Harrison Ford or Clint Eastwood.
No.
Yeah, I'm looking at that. I saved the article. That when Keanu got the script, he read it, and he said that he would do it, but that, you know, they had to make a whole shit ton of changes because obviously he's not 75 years old. Right. And the guy said they spent 2 months at his house working on the script every day, and they finally decided John Wick was going to be 35 instead of 75.
But John Wick, but Keanu Reeves isn't 35.
Not even close to 35. Hey, not even near it. He blew past that 20 plus years ago.
I think he's...
he's like 56, I think. 55, 56 years old. I know he's older than the both of us.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know for a fact that he's older than us.
Let's see. Yeah, he was born in 1964.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So he's what? 50. God, he's 58. Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
older than I thought. I didn't think he was quite that old. But yeah, it was supposed to be about a 75-year-old man coming out of retirement because they killed his dog. And he was supposed to just go on a fucking killing spree. I can send you the article. You know.
I don't. It's not like I don't believe you. I'm just saying that would have been a totally different movie. There wouldn't be four of them, that's for sure. Even though this fourth one, I think the four movies are spanning couple of months at this point.
Yeah, it's only a couple months. Yeah, that's why he still lives.
Because one and two are a few days.
Right, and it took me a while to realize that, because that's why he was limping and he was moving funny in the movie. I was like, is he just old? It's like, no, these movies take place over like a couple days, so he's still acting like he's hurt. The character is still hurt and still beat up from the last, you know, chasing down that dude's son. It's like, oh, that's what's happening. Got it. And then the third one, I think, is like a week, 2 weeks after everything went down. It's not that long. I don't know how long the fourth one is from the third one, but you know, we'll find out when it comes out. And I love John Wick. I don't know why.
Oh yeah, I love John Wick. They're great. They're fun movies. Kishore and I are gonna check it out as soon as it comes out. It comes out this Friday, I believe.
Yeah, it's such a simple premise. A hitman retires, wife dies of cancer, thugs steal his car, kill his puppy, and he goes on a murdering spree. There's your movie. There's your synopsis. Wait, what? That's it? That's it?
Well, the first movie is about what the dog represents, and three through five, because there's going to be five. Four is part one, and five is part two.
Are you sure there's going to be a fifth? Oh, that's right. They're breaking it in half.
Yeah, it's going to be five movies.
Okay.
This is the repercussions of one. There's all three through five are the repercussions of what he did in one, and part of what he did in two. Because, let's see. What is the timeline of John Wick? God damn it. Okay. I keep looking up. I want to look up the timeline for the story, but it keeps giving me the actual production timeline. Well.
Because I know technically they're not making a John Wick 5. The story is supposedly coming to an end. But I know
the continuation of John Wick universe sets on our shoulders. The future of John Wick universe rests on the shoulders of August. John Wick 4 and 5 were shot back to back, so there will be a 5.
Right? No. But I think it's not like a standalone movie. It's like they did. I want to say, didn't Lord of the Rings do that, where they like broke that last one in half? Broke it in half. Was it Back to the Future? Maybe
Back to the Future was the last two were shot at the same time. Two and three were shot at the exact same time.
Yeah, then there was a 6-month lag between them.
Yeah, and the Lord of the Ring movies one, they were all shot at the same, one and two were shot. I mean, of course, it was a massive project where they would go back and do reshoots of things, but it was like the production was all one shot because, you know, they were like, it was going to save them money. Back at the time, it was insane. You know, back then, it was $150 million to shoot all three movies, and that seemed astronomical. Now that's just, that shit happens all the time. Now you get that in one movie. But
I can see why it would save money, because now the actors are pretty much, you're pretty much hostage now. You know, the actors are hostages now. You know, they can't go get other projects and push off, you know, the shoot, the time to shoot. They're all there, ready to roll. Let's get this shit done. And they get in and they get it done. You know, and then now 2.5 years later, you're free, you're paroled. We'll find something else to do, kind of thing. And I like that. You know, it made it so that you didn't have to wait 5 years or 6 years for a sequel. You know, and I like that about it. It was every year, certain time, it was coming out. You're ready to roll, and it just made it better for me. You know, as a moviegoer. And then again, you know, I never read the books, but I don't remember reading the books because I was like a child when I was forced to read some of that crap.
All right, just to give you, I got some of it. John went chapter 1 to chapter 3. Okay. Chapter 1 to chapter 2 is 8 days.
Okay.
Day 8. Chapter 3 is day 13, starts in day 13. So after chapter 2 starts after, that's an 8 day stretch between 1 and 2, and from 2 to 3 is from day 8 to day 13. So chapter 4. So yeah, this is like all within, I'm sure 4 and 5 are going to be within at least 4, with, you know, picks up where the last one took off. So we're talking a month. All this shit happens in a month.
What a month, boy. Jesus Christ, man.
Just killing, just on edge.
Just killing, almost getting killed, your friends die, murdering everybody, dogs are murdering people. I mean, what the fuck? Goddamn, 8 days.
Yeah.
What the hell? I love some of the questions that people ask about, you know, movies. Like this one dude asked, is John Wick based on a true story? Why would you ask something like
that? What a fucking stupid thing to say.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah. Based on the international...
Shut your mouth to say something that dumb. Is it based on a true story? Are you fucking kidding me? He should be slapped for the next 5 days, every 5 minutes on the dot.
Just, hey, wake up. It's time for your slapping.
Wake up.
Remember that stupid shit you said?
this is ridiculous, man.
Oh, that is funny.
Also, I'm trying to figure out, because it looks like in part 4, Winston and John are back on good terms, even though Winston tried to kill him. That's one of the things I can't wait to see.
Yeah, I want to know where that came from, because...
That when I saw them together in the trailer, I'm like, wait a minute, Winston shot him and knocked him off a building. What the fuck is... Wait, no. But some people say, like, this is one, I'm looking at it right now, they think that Winston is his father-in-law, that he was the father of the girl he married, and that's why he looks after him the way he does. But then again, he's been looking after Wick forever. I mean, he's always looked after John Wick. So maybe he's his dad, you know, and maybe John doesn't know he's his dad. But you know, Winston knows. I don't know. I just wonder, why is he so...
Well, he really bitched out. He got scared by that Inquisitor from the last one. So maybe he felt like he didn't have a choice. Or maybe all will be explained. I mean, you know. I mean, hell, it seemed that he and Larry were on bad terms from the second one. But then, you know, they really weren't. They just, you know, who knows?
Yeah, you have no idea yet.
Hey, don't think about it. Just watch it.
I don't know. I like to formulate opinions before I go in, because you know me. I like to know if I'm right or not. It's like I gotta know if my thought processes are on the right, you know, on the right track. It's like, okay, what's the rationale for this move or this move or this move, you know, or that move or that move or whatever it may be. You know, I need to know if I'm right or not. You know, you got to keep your skills sharp, you know. But this is like, I have no idea why they're back together. I mean, could this have been part of the plan to get John Wick to not actually die, and to get Winston to control of the Continental back? You know, because he knew with the outfit Wick had on that he could survive the fall.
Well, next week we'll have all these questions answered because I will do a review. I don't know. I will definitely see it this weekend.
And yeah, I want to go see it, but I don't know if I can sit in the.
Yeah, I don't know if you can sit in the theater for that long.
Because this is the longest one from what I've read. This one has the longest running time. Two plus hours, I think it is.
It is. Well, let's see. John Wick Chapter 4. Oh, jeez. No. Yeah, they've all been about 2 hours. This one's almost three. It's 2 hours and 49 minutes.
Oh, yeah, I don't think I can sit through that. I'd be so much pain. Speaking of that, did you see that some theaters are trying to charge or reserve seats?
No, there's not some theaters. It's just the shitty AMC. AMC theaters are trying to have premium seats. So, yeah, so if you go in like a later time, you have to sit in lesser seats, even if the other ones are empty. It's been a massive pushback on that from people, from everyday people. Like I was done with AMC years ago. I told you about that, my experience with them, and fuck them. Yeah. But celebrities have spoken out about how shitty that is. I hope AMC fails. I hope that chain goes away. I'll be more than happy to see.
Could you imagine being that poor usher trying to enforce that?
Oh,
that's just trying to enforce that, man. Okay. That's not fair, dude.
But okay, theaters are closing. I mean, Regal just closed a couple of theaters. Two nearby me are closed because. But granted, the one that did close, I haven't seen that busy. I've seen that theater busy in probably a decade. Yeah. It's just like the theater I would go to if I was nearby, because it was just, I knew I could, you know, if there was a movie sold out at every theater, I knew I could find a seat there. And it just finally caught up with them. So I don't know so much if it's the times other versus that theater has never really been that successful. But, you know, in a time where they're trying to get people back into theaters, because it's really tough for theaters to compete with TV now, because TV is so elevated.
Yeah.
And that whole stigma between actors doing TV, and that's long gone. That's a thing of the past. You know.
Where actors didn't want to do TV because it was beneath them.
Right. Yeah. Or it was considered lesser. That doesn't exist anymore.
No.
So in a time where you're trying to really compete, you want to split hairs again and make it even tougher for people. So fuck that theater. Fuck AMC theaters. Fuck them in the ass. I never liked them. And I hope it fails. I hope it fails. I mean, it looks like it will. Celebrities that don't really have a stake. I mean, they have some stake. They want you to go to movies. But when they're speaking out against theaters, like, you know, fuck that. You know, don't go to this theater. AMC theaters are terrible. They're trying to make it more, you know, difficult for people that already, you know, you want to go to a movie. That's one of the last things you could do on a night out, on an evening out. That's, I wouldn't say cheap, but it's cheaper than doing certain things. And now you want to make that super expensive and penalize people. You know, so fuck you. AMC can go fuck themselves. It makes me angry when I think about it.
Actually, that gives the modern woman one more thing to bitch about their dude. You know what that nigga did? We took him out to the movies. He didn't even get premium seats. He got the cheap seats at the theater. Oh my God, that hurts. Oh, that's so funny. That gives them one more thing to bitch about. That's hilarious. I saw that and I just went. My first thought was, being a guy who worked in movie theaters for 10 years, almost 11, I don't know how you enforce that. I really don't know, because it's like if I'm on the floor, you know, as the second or third manager or whatever, and I'm on the floor, I don't know how do I enforce that? I'm not going to be putting my hands on nobody. I'm not going to be yelling at nobody.
It's like, going to it's going to be a nightmare to try and control. I mean, think about you pay for seats, you pay your fee, and then you get your seats like a Regal. And let's say, and more often than not, you go and it's not that full. And, you know, the movie started like, well, those seats are better down there. I'm going to go take those seats.
There.
And if someone comes, you just get up and go back to your seat. No harm, no foul. But not everyone is reasonable. So you're going to find people that bitch and moan. I've seen it. In fact, there was a time I bought seats and it was a bunch of us going. It was four or five of us. And I got seats and we all went there and there was a family sitting in our seats. They were really good seats. And I'm like, these are our seats. He's like, oh, these are our seats. I showed him I whipped out my phone and it's like, I purchased them. You can see it right here. These are my seats. If you can show me the same thing, then we can go talk to whoever we need to talk to. Otherwise you need to get up. And, he ended up getting up and leaving because they weren't their seats. And I called his bluff and I had proof that they were mine.
Yeah.
But I've seen people like, oh, I ain't getting up. I was like, well, you didn't pay for those seats. No. You know, this guy has a ticket in his hand or is on his phone. And you guys are just sitting there. It was clear. You guys just wandered in and just went and sat in random place. And good luck in trying, take 10 or 15 people, in a theater that don't want to sit in the shitty seats they got. I mean, AMC, it just makes me angry. AMC sucks. They fucking suck.
See, they think they're trying to do what sporting events do, I have seen A23 and A24 and A25. I get that. But here's the thing, though. Sporting events have been doing that for the last 100 years, 140 years. It's not a free-for-all. Movie theaters have always been first come, first serve. This is why, and also, sporting events have security that will actually escort your punk ass out if you're in the wrong place. Plus, there are 9 different venues that are showing the sporting event. It's one place. It's like you didn't think this through at all. Now, if it was one theater, one room, like the big 3D room or whatever they have at the theater, the number 10 theater, which has the best sound, the best seats, and all that, and you have 2 security guards in there, and you have the seats numbered, maybe it could work in one theater like that. But if you're going to do that in all your theaters, it logistically can't work. It cannot work.
They have three tiers of to their seating. Oh, they can fucking. And it says the article here, AMC getting pummeled for their 3-tier pricing. Yeah, I hope so.
3-tiered pricing. That is fucking unbelievable. The seats I always take, I like to go as far in the back as possible and sit on the far end, edge, And I'm like, that's got to be one of the, for the sound, audio-wise, it's got to be one of the worst seats in the house. But I see everybody coming in, I see everybody leaving. Oh, I love that seat. But the seats in the middle are the ones that are going to be the premium seats, where they get to immerse in the perfect sound and all that shit. And I'm like, hey, and I don't understand. It just makes no sense to me that this is what you're choosing to do, like you said, as you're going out of business. I don't understand that. Why are you making this decision as you're going out of business?
Well, fuck them. I hope they die. I don't care. I hate them. I've never liked that theater. Fuck them. That chain can eat a dick.
I hate.
All right, let's move on. It's greed. I mean, they're just grasping at straws. There's so many things. And they even had a AMC or AMC. Regal has a membership pass. So you can see a movie as many times as you want. You pay a flat fee. You can go, you have to pay, if you want to go to a 3D movie, you got to pay the 3D, up surcharge. So what? That's, but AMC had their version of that. And even that had tiers. And you could go at certain times. It's like, fuck you. AMC sucks. They suck.
Yeah, they do. I don't understand them at all. It makes no sense to me why you would do that. You know, it's like it would be like watching Burger King going under, but yet they increase the prices of their food as they're losing money rapidly. It's like, well, don't you think you discount the shit to people?
Hey, we're gonna make the Whopper half its size, and we're gonna raise it $2. Raise the price $2. That's basically what they're doing. That's what AMC's doing.
Speaking of the Whopper, did you see how much they cost now?
No, I don't really eat a lot of fast food. I mean, I do eat fast food on occasion, but I'm more of a deli guy. How much is it?
Let's see. I want to say, if I remember correctly, it was like $9 for a Whopper.
No, it isn't.
If I remember, I'm trying to find it now. Oh, I'm sorry. It's $6. I'm sorry. $6.
Yeah, I'm about to say $9. It's the same price as a burger you get at like Red Robin, because Red Robin, they start at 10, and they go up.
But I couldn't imagine. That's still ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
I mean, you and I are old enough to remember when they had that 99-cent Whopper back in the mid-90s.
They had it for like a few years.
Yeah.
99 cents. And I mean, back in my starving days back then, you know, you get like two or three of those bad boys, and that was breakfast, lunch, dinner.
Yeah. I mean, they made money hand over fist when they did it. I remember Burger King's running out of Whoppers. The first time I heard that, I was like, wait, that's not possible. And the guy behind the counter said, hey, man, this is new to me, too. I've been here for 10 years. I ain't never heard no shit like this, man. It was a brother talking to me who would say something like that, but he's like, I ain't never heard no shit like this, man. We ran out of Whoppers. I mean, there would actually be lines in the store for your 99-cent Whoppers. How do you walk away from that much money to jack up the price? And you know you're not selling as many, but you just want to make it more expensive for what? My dad and I used to argue all the time about economics, and I always said, that why don't companies lower the price and sell more of an item than jack up the price and sell fewer of the items? I've never understood that in economics. I don't understand that line of thinking.
It's just greed, because it doesn't cost them nearly as much to make, and they're still making money hand over fist. Yeah, you're pushing more product, but it doesn't, you know, if you're selling something for $4, and it costs you 75 cents to make, just how big does your yacht have to be? I mean, you're selling, let's say you sell 1,000 at $4 and it costs you 75 cents. Why would you raise it to like, you know,
to $9, $10? Why would you do that?
Yeah. You just cut, you're still making a shit ton of money. How big does your yacht have to be?
The older I get, the more anti, in a lot of ways, capitalist I am. Because the older I get, the more I keep thinking, you know, that it should be against federal and international law for people to make more and sit on more than $10 billion. I think it should be against international law. That everything over $10 billion that you make, that you earn, should immediately go to different charities that are run by an internationally run charity or a nationally run charity, you know, like to cancer research or to start a Head Start or helping dogs or St. Jude's. St. Jude should be in every fucking state. And it's like you're sitting on this money knowing you can't do anything with it. You're just sitting there. And I don't understand how we allow Elon Musk to just sit on $200 billion. That is not cool. He's just sitting on it. He can't do nothing with it. He's just sitting on it. That's not right at all. And I've had people over the years, you know, I've talked to people about that over the years. Well, he earned the money. He should be able to get. I said, people, shut the fuck up. Okay. $10 billion is more than enough. Okay. Sorry. It's more than enough. Plus, he's always earning more. So we'll never go beneath $10 billion. So you can't wrap your head around $1 million, let alone $1 billion. You cannot wrap your head around how much money that actually is. Okay? Let it go. $10 billion should be the cap for how much money you can sit on. I know you're probably going to disagree, but it's just where my mind's always been.
I don't know. I think there has to be some kind of. I don't know if I agree with you can't make this much money, but there's definitely got to be some kind of program and set that kind of keep you from doing what's happening. You know what I mean? You like when you make this much money, this much has to go, and it has to be proven that this much money goes to like social services, you know, of some kind in the community you live in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or in the state you live in.
Yeah, like schools, like public schools or something exactly. like that, man. You know?
I mean, there's no reason teachers should have to buy utensils or parents have to, like, I remember when you buy stuff for your kid for school. Mm-hmm. Now you have to have drives and you have to, like, buy a bunch of stuff that every parent gets. And then it goes into a pot where it's doled out to the students. I mean, it shouldn't have to be that way.
No.
Or certain programs just eliminated, you know, like music programs or art programs. Elwes' school, she can't take a foreign language until she gets to high school. But, you know, 15 years ago, there was a foreign language in middle school. This is ridiculous.
That's what I mean. You don't think Bill Gates could, you know, his money could be spent on that instead of him just buying or Bezos buying making the biggest yacht in the history of the world? Fuck you, dude. This is fuck you. I don't care. And the thing is, you have to be really careful when you talk about that because people are always like, well, what are you going to do? Just hand out checks to people for not working? See, that's why I never said that. I said, not nobody's saying give people money for not working. What I'm saying is that you give it to research for diseases. You give it to hospitals. You give it to public schools. You don't let kids, like this one Republican said, you know, kids should go hungry in school. If you can't pay to eat, you shouldn't eat. Like, I should put my first thought was I should put a bullet in you. Was my first thought. You should be put down. That's my first thought. You should be put down. Hey, fuck you, dude. You should be put down. And that is too much, and I mean you can fund free lunch for students at every level in every school, so the kids can at least get two good meals a day, breakfast and lunch.
Yeah,
and then they'll study better. They'll probably be less likely to be assholes because they're not hungry. They're not going to be mean because they'll be full. And it's just ridiculous. It should be a cap at $10 billion. That should be the cap. Because that's enough for you to do whatever the fuck you want to do. Buy an island, buy a yacht, buy sports teams, whatever. But you should not be able to have all that money just sitting there doing nothing with it. Just tell everybody you have it. That's ridiculous. Elon Musk got so bored with his money, he bought Twitter because he could. Yes, he's right, he did it. He bought it because he could. You know, I don't like how it's running. I'm bored. Now I'll buy Twitter. What the hell? How much? Nah, only $44 billion. Really? Only $44 billion. Go fuck yourself and die. Fall down some stairs.
Well, folks, that's a great point. That's a great place to stop at the end of a Marcel tirade.
Sorry.
it is what it is. This is a show at this point. Tune in next week. We will have a segment of Second String, aka Shit I Can't Get Marcel to Watch. I'll have a John Wick review and we'll have more of Marcel and I.
Yay!
So we are signing off. We'll see you next week.
Peace.